Well, hello there, and welcome back to Beached Whale Podcast. This is episode 2, Why I Bought Myself a Promise Ring. Okay, so why did I buy myself a promise ring? If you don't know what a promise ring is, essentially it's this kind of tradition that when couples have been dating for a while or they're really serious, one of them will give the other a promise ring. And it's essentially a placeholder for a wedding ring is kind of the idea. You're promising to love this person, to honor them, and to make a commitment to them further down the line. So buying yourself a promise ring is a little unorthodox, but for me, the promise ring was about the most important relationship in my life, and that's my relationship to myself. And we'll get there in a little bit. We'll talk more about the promise ring later on in this episode, but in order for you to really understand why I bought myself this ring, I need to take you back to my childhood and kind of give you an understanding of who I am and my fat story. I was actually pretty small as a child. I was in a booster seat for way too long. I didn't like to eat when I was younger, so I was frequently in the hospital. I get dehydrated super, super easily. I ate so many carrots one time that I literally turned orange because it was the only food that I would eat. So I was very tiny as a child. Probably from until maybe like grade 4, grade 5, I was relatively small. But even then, I was still a little bit bigger than the small girls in my class or the average girl in my class. Genetically, most of my family is plus size, so I think that definitely plays a role as well. But most of my weight is actually a side effect of a medication that I started when I was in grade 8. I suffer from a chronic migraine condition. I've been getting migraines since I was 4. They are very debilitating. I have missed so much school, so many birthday parties and events and activities. It's definitely something that took over my life. So my parents did start sending me to a neurologist when I was pretty young to try to get a handle on this. And when I was in grade 8, going into grade 9, I started with a new neurologist and he put me on this pill. And a couple of months later, we realized that I had gained between 60 to 80 pounds. I can't remember the exact number now, but a very large amount of weight in a very small amount of time at a time when your looks mean everything. Like that summer going into grade 9, you just want to feel on fire because you're going to this new place. There's going to be a new pool of boys. And I just remember being absolutely devastated. And we went back to my neurologist and my mom confronted him and said, hey, my daughter has gained a lot of weight in a very short amount of time. Nothing in her lifestyle has changed except for these pills. And he basically came back and was like, oh, yeah, like a side effect is weight gain. Did I not tell you that? And I remember at the time, I was absolutely devastated. I couldn't understand how this man could have done something so thoughtless as to put me on a medication that would make me gain weight before I went into high school. And looking back on it now, I can see, you know, how bad my own internalized fat phobia was, that I would rather have suffered from debilitating migraines than be fat. Like, I was that scared of existing and living in a fat body because up until that point, all I knew was that fat supposedly was bad. Being fat meant that you were worthless, that you weren't desirable, that you couldn't be loved. I had never seen any positive fat representation in movies, in TV shows, in books. Fat people were always the villain. So I gained all this weight. And my body image and self-love went down the actual toilet. Now, I should mention that although my weight gain was the summer going into grade 9, I had already been bullied for my weight throughout elementary school. And the key here is that I was not plus size for most of my elementary school career. It wasn't really until grade 8 going into grade 9 that I would have classified myself as plus size. So the fact that I was even getting bullied for being fat when I wasn't fat is part of the problem, because we place such unrealistic expectations on people that if you don't fit into this very specific mold of this very specific size at this specific age, then people like to tell you that there's something wrong with you and that you're not adequate and that you're less. And I definitely am not less. I want to make that clear. So I got bullied a lot in elementary school, and then especially into high school, since that's when I had gained a lot of weight and I had gained it very fast. We talked about this in episode 1, so if you haven't listened to that, I definitely encourage you to. But I was frequently referred to as a whale, as a hippo. Unfortunately, I was also the victim to a number of pranks, whether that was, groups of guys getting their friend to come up to you and saying that they had a crush on you. And then they would all be giggling, like standing 10 yards away, just watching your face light up, thinking that this guy was coming to talk to you and that he actually liked you. But having this healthy bit of skepticism in the back of your mind because you just knew. And then the absolute heartbreak that took over when you looked over his shoulder and you saw all of his friends laughing and pointing, just having the time of their lives tearing you down. Well, to all those little fuckers that I went to high school and elementary school with who loved to do this to me, fuck you. I think probably the reason that this fat phobia started to embed itself into me so deeply was that I was also getting it from my family. I can't even begin to tell you the amount of times that I remember going to my grandparents' house or my great-grandma's farm, and without fail, they would always try to make these deals with me. Tell you what, you lose 20 pounds and I'll give you $100. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, pounds for dollars? This is lit. This is the best trade-off. I need the motivation to work out and to eat right and to do all these things to magically lose all this weight off of my body. So why not get some money? Why not get paid at the same time? I remember when Taylor Swift was coming out with her 1989 tour, and I begged my mom for tickets. And when she finally got them for me, it came with the stimulation that I had to lose 50 pounds in order to get the ticket. My childhood, my adolescence, my teenage years were a repetitive cycle of dieting, of trying all these new crazy fad diets. My mom would come home with different brochures and things for places like Weight Watchers and all of these magic diets that, you know, all these supplements that you would take like 2 at breakfast, 2 at lunch, 2 at dinner for a month or so, and magically you would lose all of this weight. And we bought into it because my family feared fatness so much, and they still do. And that's the hardest part of being home, and is just still getting all the comments, and the first thing out of their mouth whenever they see me is, oh, you look so great, you've lost weight, or oh, you've really let yourself go, you've gained a couple pounds. I struggled to make friends in my first couple of years of university because I didn't go out. I remember going to the bar one time in second year with my friend Morgan, who was also my roommate at the time. And I remember being at the boat, RIP. I just remember the before, the getting ready, the selecting the outfit, the doing my makeup and my hair. And I felt so bomb. And I convinced myself that tonight was going to be the night. Some guy was finally going to notice me, and they weren't going to care that I was fat, and they were going to ask me to dance, and we were going to kiss, and it was going to be magic and sunshine and daisies. And I remember standing on that boat and that not happening and just feeling absolutely devastated, but again wondering, why did I think this time would be different? Every party, everything that I had ever gone to in my life had always ended the same. My skinny, pretty friends always got all of the attention, And I was basically there as a doormat. Nobody ever noticed me. No one ever wanted to dance with me. Even, let's talk about the time real quick when I was in grade 8 and we went to the Guild Hall for a dance. Some of my friends, and I'm using air quotes here, but you can't see them. Some of my friends were trying to pay guys at this dance to dance with me. And imagine, one, my humiliation that that was something they were even trying to do. And then two, my utter humiliation when even money couldn't get these guys to dance with me. So that just gives you an idea of how deeply rooted my issues with my body have been. All of the things that led me to the point that I'm at now. When I left for university, I was pretty much in the same headspace. My first and second and most of my third year were spent the same way as always, just feeling super insecure, wearing long sleeves in the sweater because I didn't want to show my arms, you know, making sure that I had super high-waisted pants on all the time so that I was never showing any of my stomach, barely wearing shorts because I thought my thighs were gross. And it wasn't until fourth year of university, so I was what, 22, turning 23, I think, that I finally found the body positive movement. I found it on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, and I will never forget the feelings that took over me when I realized that it was okay to love myself, that it was okay to not want to change my body. Because up until that point, my entire life, the number one goal that I had always had for every single New Year's resolution, for every single birthday cake wish, was to lose weight so that I could get pretty, so that I would be desirable, and someone would fall in love with me. Whew, I'm like kind of tearing up right now. That was my entire existence. That was all that I wanted. That was literally all that I lived for. I've said this on my Instagram, and I may have said it in the last video, I can't remember, but the body positive movement saved my life. We'll talk about mental health in a future episode and self-harm and all the things that have happened with my mental health in relation to body image and diet culture and that kind of thing. But when I say the body positive movement saved my life, I mean it literally. And we'll talk about that in another episode. I started the plus side on my YouTube channel in my fifth year of university, I believe. And it was basically a segment on my channel where I could talk about plus size things. And the first video that I ever made for it was called I Watched Sierra Burgess as a Loser, So You Don't Have To. It got like 10,000 views, which is way, 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 way more views than I had ever gotten on one of my videos before. And it was the feedback and the community that rallied around that video that made me realize that my voice was needed in this space and that I had something to say. So I made a few more videos on there before I kind of came to the realization that YouTube just wasn't the right format for me. So then I started to focus on my Instagram. I rebranded as The Fat Author, which we talked about in episode 1. And I started to shift my content from books and writing, which is what my Instagram had been previously, to fat positivity and body positivity and self-love and confidence. And I'm so grateful that I made that change because I have met so many incredible people through it. And I have grown so much as a person because of the influence that I have seen on Instagram. So the promise ring. Why did I buy myself a promise ring? I bought myself this ring just before my 24th birthday. I remember we piled into the car, a couple of my coworkers and I, and we drove to a local town that was nearby that had a Pandora. And I went in, I was so excited to get this ring, and I put it on, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I wrote this really, really long Instagram post about how this ring symbolized my body positive promise to myself. That this ring symbolized that I loved my body, that I cherished it, that I recognized it for all that it is, instead of all of the imperfections that society wants me to see. That I love myself because of these imperfections, because of every roll, because of every little piece of cellulite and every stretch mark. I bought myself that ring so that I could look down at my hand on the bad days, the days when I forget just how strong and beautiful my body is, and I needed a reminder. Now, the funny part here is that I actually only had that ring for about a week, and I lost it on my birthday when I fell in a snowbank, and I didn't realize it had fallen off until I got home. I don't have the physical ring anymore, but the symbol of what the ring meant to me has definitely stuck with me. My promise ring to myself was really just a reminder that for right now, working on the relationship that I have with my body is the most important and the most special relationship that I have. My body is my first love. It's the first thing that I've ever really fallen in love with is myself. And I think that's so powerful. When women, especially fat women, start to feel powerful, people love to name them and call them out as being vain or self-absorbed. What is so bad about a woman fully embracing and loving herself and screaming it to the world when we live in a society that constantly tries to push us down and put us into this little box of unhappiness so that we feed into their diet culture and we keep buying their weight loss programs and we keep supporting all of these billion-dollar diet industries? What do I want you to take away from this? If you can start to follow more body positive accounts, if you can start to seek out that representation in books, in movies, in music, you'll slowly start to find little pieces of yourself that you can use to build yourself back up. I went through periods where I absolutely hated my body, where every single thing about it made me physically ill. And now I'm at the point where I'm up on a stage wearing very little scanty clothing, dancing my absolute heart out without a care in the goddamn world. And that's because of things like body positivity and fat liberation and confidence. And it's because of the sacrifices and the fight that women have made before me, mainly Black fat women. And I'm so, so grateful to them for that. And I am honored to carry the torch. All right, I think that brings us to the end of episode 2. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, if you like this, feel free to subscribe and follow on whichever streaming platform you're using. Leave a review. And also, I've learned that Anchor has a super cool thing where if you click on the link at the end of the episode description, you can actually send in kind of like a voice message or a voicemail that I can hear and potentially input into future episodes. So if you have any questions, comments, anything that you want to relay, definitely go leave me a voicemail message. That would be awesome. And again, a reminder to take a screenshot of you listening to this episode to share it on your Instagram so that I can share it to my story and also thank you in person for listening. Don't forget that you are worthy regardless of your size, and I cannot wait to see you. C as in SEA. I can't wait to see you in episode 3. Bye!